Hello, everybody. How y'all doing today? Good. Awesome. All right. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just come before you, and I just want to thank you so much, God, for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the love that you've shown us. I thank you for opportunities, like Emma had, to go out and just be a light into the world, Father. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and prepare us to receive it. And Lord, that you would just guide my tongue, Father, and that I would speak your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. 1 second. All right, so quick question for you guys. Not a rhetorical question, so feel free to raise your hands. But how many of us here have something in our lives that we're passionate about? Okay, just show of hands. How many of us have something in our life that we're passionate about? All right, so a good majority of us have something in our life that we're passionate about, right? In fact, if you think about passion and what people are passionate about, it usually boils down to three general things. You're either passionate about a topic, whether that's religion or politics, okay? You're passionate about a thing in your life, whether that's something, an activity that you do, or a hobby, or something, right, in your life. Or you're passionate about somebody in your life, or a group of people in your life, right, whether that's family or friends, right? And that's typically what most people will be passionate about. And what I want to talk to you today is our passion. What is our passion? Okay? And I want to start with talking about, first of all, what is passion? How do we define passion? Because when I started looking into this, I quickly became kind of intrigued because I realized as I started to research the definition of passion, the word of passion, that it means now something different than what it originally meant. If you look at the definition of passion, and as I go over this, I think you guys will agree that this is how we define passion today. But then I'm going to go over what it actually originally meant, and you're going to go, that's really interesting. And so, start off, the word passion means a strong and barely controllable emotion, i.e., a state of outburst of strong emotion, intense love, an intense desire or enthusiasm for something, a thing, arousing enthusiasm. Some words that are very similar to passion that we could use instead of the word passion are rage, anger, fury, frenzy, desire, lust, hunger, yearning, infatuation, fervor, intensity, zeal, obsession, preoccupation, and craze. These are all words that would define passion that we could use instead of the word passion, right? But this is not actually what the word passion started out as. See, the word passion actually comes from an old Latin word that was pronounced pati, P-A-T-I. And that meant to suffer. It then got translated to, in a more modern Latin form, to passio. And then got translated to the French word passion that we use today. And it was used to define the events of Christ from the Last Supper unto his death. This is what the word passion was originally intended to. I want to just take a quick moment. This is really has nothing to do with my sermon, but I really want to encourage, especially you young people here, really study your words. Know the history of your words. Because there is an enemy out there that will change the meanings of words to lessen the effect of the gospel. Think about it. Here's a word that was created to define from the Last Supper to Christ's death. And over centuries, decades, really, over decades, you have the word being transformed from that to meaning rage and anger and lust, right? Outburst of emotion, right? It's such a transformation. And yet we see this happening not just with this word, but words like belief. Used to be 50 years, 100 years ago, you said, I believe something. That belief caused an action in you. You took action upon your belief. People knew that you believed it because you acted upon your beliefs. Now we say we believe something. It just simply means that we acknowledge that it could possibly be true. There's an attack on our words. There's an attack on our definitions. So I encourage you guys, especially young people, to really study your words and understand the definitions and where they came from, because it can be so important and so vital in our being able to communicate something effectively to somebody else. But getting back to passion, we're going to ask ourselves a couple different questions. First of all, let me back up. The word passion is actually found once in the King James Bible, and that's Acts chapter 1, verse 3. And this is where they talk about the passion of Christ, how he died. And in the New King James, the word is, surprisingly enough, changed to suffering. And not to spark a debate between King James only and non-King James only people, but I have to agree with the King James only people. I think the word passion should have stayed. It really got me to research like what this word means and why it only shows up one time in the Bible. But anyways, some questions we're going to ask is, what does this mean for us? If the word passion no longer holds the original meaning, what does that mean for us? Are we to be a passionate people? And if so, what does it look like, and what should we be passionate about? Okay? Well, the short answer to that first question, are we to be a passionate people, is yes. Yes, we absolutely should be a passionate people. God created us to have feelings and emotions. Okay? He created us to feel things deeply. Right? But we do need to remember that we were born again. We're no longer slaves to our emotions. We're no longer slaves to our feelings. Okay? We're no longer called to be controlled by those things. And so we shouldn't be prone to outbursts of emotion. Right? The Bible tells us... I lost my spot here. James 1, 19 and 20. It says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce righteousness of God. Okay? So we're not to be prone to outburst. We're not to be prone to our own feelings and our emotions and let those get the better of us. Okay? In Proverbs, we read that the tongue holds the power of life and death, right? That we can speak life or we can speak death. And we got to remember that we are, we're in this world, but we're not a part of it. We're to be set apart, right? So how do we express our passion? Well, for that answer, I'd like to look at two people in the Bible. The first of all is John. Okay? I believe John was passionate about three things. Those three things were, one, passionate about Christ and God the Father, right? I believe he was passionate about the church. And I believe he was passionate about the gospel. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. And it starts out, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians. In God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we already see him talking about his first passion. We give thanks to God always for all of you. He's telling them, we're giving thanks to you guys, right? He's letting them know that his passion, his desire for the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonia. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father. So again, he's just letting them know how proud he is of this church and that he's keeping them in his prayers. This is a sign of his passion for the church. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. So then he talks about the gospel and the effect the gospel had. And this is the way he started almost every letter to the churches. He started talking about his love for Christ, his love for the people there, and the effect of the gospel. And I believe that these are three things that are so important as Christians that we need to be so passionate about. I also want to look at Jesus. I mean, if we look at Jesus' ministry, throughout his entire ministry, his passion was for the people, the lost, the needy, the hurting. He had a passion for them. And you could see this passion in probably the greatest way ever when it all came down to the garden and he was arrested, taken by the Romans, beaten, spit upon, ridiculed, having his hair ripped from his face, whipped with a whip that ripped his flesh. And when he barely seemed recognizable as a man, they flung a heavy cross on his shoulder and made him drag it up a hill to where his body gave out, so much so that they had to have another man grab it and carry it the rest of the way. They laid him on a cross and hammered spikes into his arms and his feet. And he hung on a tree and he suffered, barely being able to breathe for us. And he did this voluntarily. Nobody made him. He knew what was coming. He could have chosen to run. In fact, we see him in the garden crying out, Abba, Father, if there's any other way, let's do it that way. But not my will, your will be done. I think in that moment we see his the Son of Man and the Son of God. And the Son of Man, his flesh wants to run from the pain he knows is coming. But his Godhead said, no, this is the only way. And I love these people. I want to pour out my passion for them. I want to show them in the greatest example of passion that has ever been known throughout the history of man, so much so that we didn't even have a word to define it. We had to create one. That's how impactful the gospel is. I believe that if we're to be followers of Christ, then I believe we must also be passionate about our Father God and His Son Jesus. We must be passionate about the followers of Jesus. And we must be passionate about taking the gospel to the lost. We have to be. If we're not, then we have to ask ourselves, why aren't we? Why are we not passionate about those things? Maybe you're not. Maybe I can tell you honestly, I look at this and I look at these three things and I go, you know what? I do believe I'm passionate about God and about Christ, and I believe I'm very passionate about my fellow believers, and I care deeply about them. But I struggle sometimes about being passionate about sharing the gospel. I do. I struggle. Fear sometimes grips me, and I don't necessarily want to offend anybody sometimes, you know? I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to make things difficult or lose my job. These things pop into my mind. If I'm being completely honest, they do. But if we're to look at the godly definition of passion, then I should not only be willing to suffer for God, but I should seek out suffering for God's sake. I should seek out persecution for the sake of the gospel. There's no point in Scripture where you see John or Jesus saying, maybe I shouldn't go there. I could be persecuted there. Even Stephen, as he's being stoned, gave the glory to God. You know? We see this throughout all of Scripture. Daniel continued to pray, even though he knew the punishment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down, even though they knew what was going to happen. They sought out persecution for the sake of their God. They looked for it. They did not shun away from it. So how do we become passionate about these things? If we don't have that passion within us, how do we stir it? Let me ask you guys. I said, who is passionate about something here? Right? And several of you raised your hand. Okay, I can tell you, for me, one of the things that I used to be very passionate about, I don't get to do it much anymore, is rollerblading. Okay? I absolutely loved to rollerblade, especially when I was in my 20s. I would go, and I lived out in Hawaii at the time. I was in the military, and I would rollerblade probably half the island. I just all day long, I would spend out on my rollerblades and doing that. And I would talk to my friends about rollerblading, and like as soon as I got on them and I saw how awesome it was, I invested money into them, got really good wheels, got so I could go really fast and did all kind of crazy stuff. Almost died a couple times rollerblading, literally. And, you know, it was something that I absolutely loved to do, right? I love teaching people. I tried to teach my wife to rollerblade when we first got married. She did not take it up so well, did not have the same passion. But it was something I was passionate about doing. But guess what? I was never passionate about it until I put the rollerblades on. I wasn't born with this passion for rollerblading. I had to put them on. So if you're not passionate about one of these things, don't feel like, oh, all hope is lost. What am I going to do? No, if you're not passionate about it, you have to stir those passions up. You have to actually actively go in and try to become passionate about these things. So how do we do that? Well, if you lack passion for Christ and for God, I would first recommend go back and look, like Emma had to do, look at your testimony. Look at your testimony. Reflect on that. Two reasons. Number one, let's make sure that you were saved under the true gospel. That you truly recognize that you were a sinner in need of saving. And this isn't something you were just doing because that's what I've done my whole life. And number two, when you do realize that is why you're saved, when you do realize that I am a sinner and I'm only saved by God's grace, this brings humility. And I believe humility is the key to passion. It's the key to, I should say, godly passion. I think pridefulness is actually the key to the world's definition of passion. When we are humbled, we are allowed to recognize our love for God. When we humble ourselves, we recognize that we were unworthy and that God is the only reason that we are who we are today. This humbles us. And it drives a love within us. We become passionate, willing to do anything for Him. And to further that passion, we need to study His Word. We need to get to know Him. Not just read it, not just read a scripture or two, but really study and meditate on His Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be communicating with God in prayer. Not just a thank you, God, for this amazing day, but God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know. I want to know your voice. I want to be able to hear you. I want to know that you're my shepherd because I recognize your voice. I want to come before you and not just talk about the things that I need or the things that I want from you, God. But I want to lay my heart open to you. And I want to wait to hear your response. If you're struggling with a passion for your fellow believers, in much the same way as you would stir up your passion for Christ, I would say we need to stir up our way for our passion for our fellow believers. Get to know them. Stop going just so deep and stopping. Go deeper with one another. Let's not be afraid to open our hearts up and admit when we're vulnerable. Admit when we're struggling. Be able to say to one another, it's been a rough week. I struggled this week. And then let's pray for one another. Lift one another up and encourage one another. Let's go deeper than we've ever gone. And I just want to say, if you're above the age of 30 and you've been a Christian for 10 or more years, you should be actively seeking out somebody who's younger than you or newer in the faith than you and discipling them. We need to come along them and help encourage them, help strengthen them. Not just our own children, but children outside of this family, people outside of our own families, and say, hey, I want to help mentor you. I want to help you grow in your faith. I want to help you grow in your walk. When we become that kind of family that has that kind of passion for one another, when the enemy tries to come in here and stir things up, it won't be allowed. We're going to be like, oh, no, no, you're not coming in here and doing that. That's not going to happen. This is our family, and we protect our family. We're passionate about it, and we're going to sacrifice for one another. We're going to help one another and lift one another up and encourage one another. And I got to tell you, I don't know about you guys, but I have seen far too much over the last couple months of families, good families that I believe to be very strong in their faith, suddenly finding themselves at the edge of divorce. And I'm reminded of what Pastor Raymond said, it is so much easier to stop yourself from falling off a ladder by just keeping your thumb on the edge of the roof. Right? The best way to keep a boulder from falling is to shore it up. It's almost impossible to stop it from falling once it starts rolling. And I know that people have stepped in and they've tried to help, but they're not able to. Why? Because things have gotten so far out of hand, it's almost impossible to stop it now. It's only God that can do it. But if we had been honest with one another, if we'd been open with one another, we had shared with one another way before this ever started happening, when we first started having those feelings, then maybe we could have been able to speak into one another's lives. And maybe things would have been different. We have to become a family. We have to become a very close-knit family that knows each other's struggles and be passionate about these things. Or the enemy will wipe us out. He will pick us off one by one. And then finally, our passion for the lost. The easiest way to do that is to go ahead and go for the rejection. Go for the persecution. I'm in sales and there's something that's always said. Go for no. If you want to be successful in sales, you got to go for no. You got to pursue that person until they give you three no's, and then you pursue them one more time. Usually after three no's, somebody will say yes. That's what you got to do. You can't be afraid of rejection. You got to continue until they say no. No, no, no. But guess what? Having a passion for sharing the gospel is no different. We've got to go out there and be prepared to be rejected, to be ridiculed, to be persecuted. We got to go in there knowing that that could happen. And be okay with it. And rejoice if it does happen. So I just want to close with this thought. Passion in its most godly form is suffering for the sake of others while sharing the gospel. That is what passion is all about. Are we going to be a people that is passionate about God, passionate about each other, and passionate about the lost? This is what I believe we were called to do. My final words are this. Don't leave here today and forget about this message. Don't let the busyness of this world take the power of this message away. Don't walk out of here and tomorrow be like, what did we talk about yesterday? Because I know that can happen. The enemy is so quick to rob us of this time because we get distracted and caught up with all those things outside that become our routine, and we forget to reflect on these things. So I encourage you guys, reflect on what was said today. Ask yourself, am I truly passionate about these things? And what am I going to do to become passionate about these things? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I just come before you, and I just want to thank you so much God, I ask that you would just help us throughout the week to work on our passion for you, Father. To work on our passion for one another and our passion for the lost. Lord, help us to become a people that are an open book. We're already an open book to you, Father. But that we would become open to each other. That we would lift one another up and encourage one another. Lord, that this could be a place where there is no judgment, no condemnation, but God, where we just come aside each other and we just help encourage one another and strengthen one another. Lord, I pray that when we go out into this world, Lord, that we would see the lost and the hurting, and we'd see them as you see them. And that the passion you have for them would burn in us as well. Again, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to preach. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Andrew Gi was a Chinese pastor. And a little yellow book that I got at a clearance rack years ago, or somebody gave to me, he said, just to sum up what Richard's saying, or maybe just to add just a little extra to it, he said, we know John 3:16, but do we know Luke 3:16? Which is, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke 3:16. And that's truly the need. But is there room? We need room for God to perform that. I really believe the word is so choked by the cares of this life. And to sum up our messages on soul prosperity, I don't think we as of yet understand how much we need to have a clarity inside of us that there is a voice, and that voice is the Holy Spirit. There is a prompting, and that prompting is the Holy Spirit. And we need to prosper within. And so I'm going to pray for us that we will truly be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and that fire would burn. And there used to be an old hymn, set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. We need to seek after that corporately and individually like never before. I really believe I have an unction that I don't think we understand what's potentially ahead of the world, and we just need a very clear prompting, a clear relationship. And so let's, if we can, let's pray. And then, Heavenly Father, we We ask you, Father, for a very clear relationship with you, soul clarity, which will require a clear focus. Jesus taught that the clarity of our focus determines the clarity that's within us. If thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light, and therefore passion. And it will be something that we don't have to necessarily muster up. It'll be in us when we wake up, but we need to fan that flame. And Father, we ask you to make us what we should be today. Turn us, Lord, as the Old Testament writer said, turn us and we shall be turned. So Father, we place ourselves as Zacchaeus in a place where we can see Jesus. We climb the sycamore tree even now in our hearts. And may you look at us as you look at Zacchaeus. I said, I'm coming to your house. And Father, we all are Zacchaeus in our own way. We're spiritually inept. Our sin has tarnished us in some way. But we thank you for your grace and empower us, Lord, with this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand our feet if we can. And thank you so much, Emma, once again, for your presentation. Great job on that. And hallelujah, thine the glory.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.